You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
It's Mail It In Friday. I think the guys are here.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like
that. Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
All right, so I'm back in here, but the O-Dog is tagged out. He's done. He's not in here. So
I've
Pooley's in here. Dave Pooley's
in here, which is going to be awesome. But I laughed because I said, the minute that you announced that you were getting a day off, then O was gone.
So he's got that tally sheet, clearly. Like, he's got a sheet, and he's got columns. Yeah. And so Jamie takes a day off to go work a hockey game in Ottawa. That's a day off, right?
Technically not on the show.
Now, we don't really count Noodles, because Noodles, you do miss more than any of us.
Counts.
I do. I miss 30... You know, 30-plus shows a year.
Don't tell me O doesn't count.
He might.
O counts.
I think he understands that Noodles is actually working. Like, I had to take a day off for family purposes yesterday, and I let everyone around here know, like, a month and a half ago. O, on the other hand, I don't believe is doing anything, quite frankly. I think he just decided that I deserve a day off now, too.
He's listening
for whatever reason.
That's
of course he is. I'll bet you he's listening right now.
So on a relative basis, his lead time is an hour and a half. If you were a month and a half.
Like maybe a day and a half. He may have announced it
yesterday.
He may have announced it yesterday, although it flew under the radar with me.
Yeah, he never announces it, like, up in... He doesn't announce it in this room. It's a sneaky little email, and then...
Yeah, and then just not show up.
Right,
and
basically, I'm not coming in.
And then we have to bring in a heavy hitter.
That's what it is. True version of Mail It In Friday. That's...
Yeah.
Don't come. Like, don't... It's not about coming late. Show up. Is you just don't show.
Yeah, that's right. So
it's all right. He's up at the cottage and have a good time.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Day off.
good to see you guys. The World Hockey Championships are underway, and it's pretty underwhelming, I think, from a Canadian perspective. They lost today, and on paper, they really don't have a very good team.
Well,
they don't.
We didn't get you to weigh in on this, and we actually didn't even talk about it yesterday, like Tavares getting injured. Like, I said to O off air... And I've been pretty steady and consistent with my belief of the World Hockey Championships and stuff like that. I think they're fantastic and they're a good experience, but at some point I think guys get to a certain age, or maybe just a guy like Tavares had a long season. I'm sure it was really mentally tough on John to come home and all the other distractions. I was shocked he went, personally. I was actually very shocked that he went. And now, you know, he's not going to be out for very long. I think this is something pulled, and he's like,
continue into the fall.
But here's a guy who broke his leg.
I'm
the Olympics.
Like, I'm shocked that he actually accepted it. Like, he's...
And how many times would he have gone? Because he didn't make the playoffs with the Islanders a number of times, so he's gone to the World Championships. So it's kind of interesting, because... You're saying because he's 27 or 28 and he's paid his dues, essentially, to Hockey Canada. He's saying, I had such a good time over there when I went my X number of times. Did you ever go?
I was invited. I actually said no, and I was only going to be invited as a third goalie anyways. I'd had a good season. It's just I think I had something nagging, and I had to have it looked at, and I was like 3 weeks in wherever it was. I can't even remember where it was that year. Like, I can't do it. I just didn't want to. Like, well, I think my heart, I just wasn't into it.
Yeah, but way back when, you couldn't even make the playoffs and go, let alone the second round.
Yeah,
they've added second rounders. But back then, it started earlier. And so it wasn't even an option. It was all, you know, and there were only five teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Only 21 teams. So the same guys went every year. It was like the World Championship teams going over. Like, they were almost like the finish team.
They
played together.
Did you go? You were in the playoffs every year. Every 13, year of your career?
13 for 13.
Well, I think that's crazy. An example, though, of how every player is wired differently.
Yeah.
And some of them, all they want to do is play all the time.
Yeah.
And there are some guys who want to play, but if they're getting paid to play. And there are other guys who really don't like to play, but they play because they're so talented and they know they can make money.
Exactly.
Like, there are so many different categories of players, and really we're talking about human beings, just the way you are wired. And you're seeing it, you know, that type of conversation in different sports. Kevin Durant's a good example, where Durant's a free agent at the end of the year. He's going to get the biggest contract he's ever received. Now, he's already got probably $150 in the bank, maybe $200 million.
Oh, yeah.
So money is not necessarily a high priority, but still, it's a lot of money, and it's a big decision. He's already got his two rings. He's won his MVPs in the finals. He's won his MVPs during the regular seasons. So now he's got a calf strain, and a lot of people I've noticed are like, I wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
Because he's already won his rings, and he's a pending free agent. But I think he should come back if he can come back, because this is why you play, to win titles.
This is the legacy. This is the true legacy.
Exactly.
But maybe at some point, and I'm not going to speak for him, but he's looking at lifestyle and going, I'd like to live in New York.
Well, I think LeBron did that. The thing. With where we're at with LeBron right now, LeBron clearly just made a lifestyle decision, because the Lakers have been a disaster for a long, long time, well before LeBron showed up, and they're even more of a disaster now with him there.
Which is kind of scary.
They're protesting outside the Staples Center right now. Like, their fans have had enough of the bus family.
It takes a lot. You know me and protesters. I'm not a fan of any type of protesting. But the fact that they are protesting, like, they're that pissed.
That's pretty funny.
Well, it is kind of crazy.
Sports protests are probably the most futile protest of them all. Because the same guy who's outside the Staples Center right now will be buying tickets and will be inside when the season starts up again next year. So the Bus family, they know the valuation of the Lakers is $2 billion or whatever.
It's not changing.
They're going to sell out 41 home games next year. Everyone's buying James jerseys and all that.
So LeBron said weather and future.
Basically.
In L.A.
Yeah. Right.
Weather and future. It's
and
not
family.
In Cleveland.
My family wants to be in L.A. They want to live in L.A. And
so is that just a dinner table discussion? You're all sitting around dinner and saying, so where do you want to go?
Yeah.
And the 14-year-old says, Dad, I want to go to L.A.
Yeah.
Okay, well, where would you like to go?
It's interesting you say that, because on a lesser level, you know, Aginla, he recently retired, and he has children, and he told me he had his children weigh in on where they wanted to.
And by the way, he's living in the least, like, if you don't say where he's living yet,
right,
and ran a poll,
yeah,
it would be the last choice of, you'd say, well, clearly it's Calgary, clearly it's Colorado, clearly the mountains, you know, guys like to retire there, the weather's pretty good, clearly it's San Diego.
Yeah, like he said, I sat with my family and said, you know, where are you guys at? You guys have followed me around.
That's pretty cool.
I'm going to, you know, it was interesting to hear what his rationale was. I wonder if at the dinner table, LeBron goes with the same thing. Like, hey, I've got an opportunity. We've done our thing here in Cleveland.
I'm sure that came up. Now, the difference is, Aginla was retired when they made that decision.
Correct.
LeBron's still playing.
Right.
Technically, he's still employed.
There
to
are
play
nights he does. When you're walking into the arena,
that was too easy.
With a glass of wine, you are on retirement mode right now.
Meeting with players that are still playing. In
he's transitioning into retirement. Like, that's where LeBron is. He's at a transitional period in his life. But I can kind of understand it, and it's almost as if this has become clearly obvious. Now, some people are reporting that he's still out there and recruiting, and I'm not saying he wouldn't prefer to win.
Right.
If you're going to play, you might as well try to win, and I'm sure he'd like to try to win in L.A., but I don't think it really matters. You know, the big story in L.A. and throughout the states now is, should LeBron demand a trade because of the Tyronn Lue stuff, where Ty Lue wanted the job, and then he was the one that pulled out because of the kind of lack of stability or instability behind the scenes with the Lakers. And now it's like LeBron's going to want out, but I don't think he wants out, because I think he's made the decision.
To demand a trade, he would simply say, trade me.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have a choice.
Well, but the other side of the coin is, the Lakers may say, we just got to get rid of LeBron. Like, this didn't work. It was 1 year. He's done. He's not helping us recruit anybody. And
I
we got to get rid of LeBron. And that could be a part of the conversation.
I often wonder, though. So is Ty Lue that coveted as a coach that he can just go, no, I'm good? Or if you saw behind the curtain and you're that terrified to go, I don't want any of this, like, that, that's all I could think about. Like, is Tyronn Lue going to get another job as an NBA head coach?
I don't know. because clearly there aren't other options on the table for him right now.
So the fact that he, this is all reports, that he said, I'm out.
Well, right? Because 5 years versus the three they were offering.
Exactly. And the reason they were offering him three was because LeBron has 3 years left, basically right. saying you're here with LeBron and then you're gone. And he thought that was disrespectful, which you can agree or disagree with. But the fact is, pretty much every coach in the NBA is getting a five-year deal.
Right.
And Tyronn Lue does have a championship ring as the head coach of the Cavs.
He does.
He did win a title.
And LeBron handed it to him. And
very much so. Yeah, but listen, Jordan handed it to Phil Jackson, Kobe handed it to Phil Jackson.
Gretzky gave it to Sather.
Exactly. Like, that's what happens. You got great players.
But I guess my point is, for him to go, I'm out, like that's a major step. Like,
I think it's just negotiating is all it is.
So they're going to come back to him, you think? Like, yeah, they'll go, here's your five.
I think he ends up being the head coach of the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
That's an interesting thing that
I think
about.
It's negotiating, and I think he's unfortunately negotiating with, well, the only guy left there is the former agent, correct?
In terms of L.A., you mean?
Yeah, in terms of the brass.
Yeah, because it's not.
Kubchak is still there.
Well, Magic's out.
It's Palenka, the GM.
The former agent.
Yes, Palenka's the GM. But it sounds like Kurt Rambis in the Rambis family.
Has always been the guy.
The ass man is
hot
right
ass
in
daily.
There.
This guy is a Twitter maniac.
Yeah, Kurt Rambis would be the guy. He'd be a confidant.
He is. And his wife, I guess, is really close with Jeannie Buss, and they've been involved with the Lakers front office. So okay. it's a debacle
there. Don't you think, does LeBron not have enough push to go, just give the guy 5 years?
Yeah. You would think.
Like he can't make a phone call and go, just give him 5 years. Let's
you would
go.
Think. You would think.
But it looks better if the team does it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So from a negotiating standpoint, Ty Lue says, look, you know, they lost their guy, Monty Williams, right, to Phoenix. So they lost him. So they say, okay, well, you know, let's just hardball Ty Lue and...
Well, exactly. He's got no leverage. We have all the leverage.
And he's tied to LeBron, so he's here as long as LeBron is.
Come on in, and LeBron's your guy. But
he may be a great coach. We just don't know that.
Right.
Right? Yeah, we don't know that.
No, we don't.
It wasn't like he out-coached anyone to win a championship.
Well, technically he did because he just said, LeBron, go, you're on.
Well, he put the right players in. That is coaching.
Take as many minutes as you want and let me know when you want to come off the court.
Coaching is managing your players.
Right.
So he did that.
You still, exactly. You got to manage and you've got to find some rotations, and there are going to be some minutes where LeBron's not on the court.
But the owners may have just said to him and LeBron, because LeBron may have had his fingers on this at some point, he's coming in, but he's tied to you. And as long as you're here for three more years, he's here for 3 years.
Well, that's what it sounds like. The optics that they overthought everything, and they don't want to make it sound like LeBron James is running everything.
Right.
Because they're the Lakers, and they're this great phenom
and LeBron
organization.
Is running everything.
Right.
Exactly. But they want to give off the impression like he's not. We make the decisions. You play. We pay you a lot of money.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, that's. I thought we were going to have an offseason where LeBron was not included in any of the rumor mills, but it sounds like that's exactly where we're going.
Well,
will he demand a trade? Will he be traded? That's where we're going again. It's always LeBron all the time.
We started this conversation about loving to play the game versus playing the game in the World Championships, right?
And, yeah. Well, and I come back to the World Championships.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always fearful, especially, and I know guys that are on expiring contracts. Like, Marner doesn't even look at that because he's got to worry about. But Tavares is a prime example of a guy who's actually been injured in international play. And
has been, it's not like I got to experience it. He experienced it a bunch of
there,
times.
Like, I just been there several times. I'm shocked that he accepted. It's cool and it's on him. I'm sure him and his wife just may have wanted to have, because they go to beautiful places and it is somewhat of a cool vacation, and you get to play hockey while doing that.
But it's a grind. That tournament's a grind.
That's
a long tournament.
My buddy played for Team USA, and he's like, man, he's like, it was so long.
You're committing 4 weeks.
He goes, I couldn't wait for it to be over. He said, I hated hockey by the end, and I had hated hockey by the end of the 82 games.
Right.
And now I add on another 4 weeks.
Well, some guys do it to erase a bad regular season.
Yeah.
Some guys do it to erase, like if you're a Tampa guy, they all ran as fast as they could to the Russian team.
Because you're not going to sit around.
Vasilevsky, you know, Kucherov, you're not going to sit around a bar in Tampa.
No.
I mean, you're getting the heck out of there. But, there are 16 first-time players on Canada's team. So, obviously, they had a hard time getting guys to go.
Yeah, I still come back to it's such a big money business now in the National Hockey League. And I don't know how I would feel if I was in management, but if I'm looking at one of my star players going over, I would say it's up to you, but if I would kind of prefer you, you know, you have a nice off-season workout, be ready, because we're paying you, in Tavares' case, $11 million.
Especially after disappointment.
Correct.
Like, after disappointment.
One of the carrots used to be, oh, the Olympics is over there now. You know, don't confuse that. And I think the biggest single factor in the U.S. getting everybody to go is that national development program. Like, if you look at that team, I don't know the exact number, but I'm going to say the majority of those kids played on the national development program in Ann Arbor and Plymouth. So they're just calling each other.
Yeah.
Like, there's a brotherhood there. It's like they all came from the same major junior team.
Right.
Somebody from the Barrie Colts called you right now and asked you to go to the World Championships with them.
Yeah. Say, we need a stay-at-home defenseman.
No. I refuse to play. I choose not to play.
Ship it off.
I made my mark already. Go find the game tape and the game sheet. My two assists, they will live on forever.
At this exact point, that may be the best decision.
I choose not to play. I only choose to talk on the radio. That's what I do better than anything. I think with the Tavares timeline, because I guess he injured his oblique when he was over there training, must have been warming up, or I don't know, maybe he was in the gym. Who knows what he was doing? But there's no way the Leafs were just notified after he got off the ice.
Oh, no.
They would have been in conversations, and I would assume they probably said, you can take a twirl, but if you feel anything, you're off the ice and you're back in Toronto immediately.
Yeah, you're
which is the right move. You pull the chute, you get out of there.
It's my understanding that in Alain Vigneault's presser afterwards, he said, well, he's going to be evaluated further. And somebody said, actually, he's already on his way back to Toronto.
Yeah. No, he's not. Yeah, he will be evaluated further.
Time.
Not
going to be one of the Leafs doctors.
Right, at St. Mike's Hospital. That's where.
Like, the minute he lands at Pearson, there's a...
He will be evaluated.
There is
Doc Theo's meeting him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's the move, is get him out of there. And now the Leaf content, I guess, is somewhat limited for fans that continue to watch the World Hockey Championships.
Yeah, I mean, you could watch Willie Nylander, what you just mentioned, to save
talk
a
about
season.
Erasing
a season.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, Willie's going to go. He had half a season. He's going to go. I'm sure he's going to play fantastic there. He'll be in a very comfortable setting around most of his friends.
And his success in the World Juniors and in that environment is such a positive one for him.
It has been, yeah.
Wearing the Trey Kroner. If you're a Leafs management, you want him to go because
sure.
You want him coming back with a fresh... Not having to make October his fresh start.
Have we heard anything on Panarin or Bobrovsky? Are they playing? Or are they going over there? Or?
I have not heard anything about that at all.
If I was them, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't
both
either.
Both unrestricted free agents, and this is going to be a home run for both of them.
Yeah, they're going on a spring break holiday right now.
That's what I would be doing.
South
because,
Beach.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Aaron Portsline from Columbus, a media guy down there, he's reporting that Sergei Bobrovsky's already put up his condo for sale. So he is like, I'm out of here. I'm not wasting any time.
He had the papers signed. Like, you have a realtor.
Yeah.
The papers are already signed. They get submitted the night that they lose to Boston.
You got to get ahead of the market, Jamie.
Yeah, yeah. I
might
know,
be a few other guys selling.
It's so like, we hear this all the time. You know, especially if guys think they're on their way out of town. Like, you know, the wife puts the house up, and then it starts to leak out. Well, you hear this guy's house is for sale. And
well, didn't Matt Duchene build an investment property in Nashville?
I think he did, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he's building a home down in Nashville right now. And he's saying, well, it's a rental property. It's an investment property.
Yeah.
And other people are saying
it's an investment if they can get rid of Kyle Turris.
Yeah, you got to get rid of
that's what it is.
The captain of Team Canada's got to go.
If Kyle Turris can disappear, that's an investment. And Matt Duchene's on a bird. You see, I don't know if you saw his Twitter account.
I did.
It was Riley Nash's birthday. It looks like they were heading to Nash Vegas for some fun. So.
Yeah, I saw that. But
there were a few shots on that timeline, weren't there? About Duchene staying in Nashville. And
yeah, there were.
Got a free ride down. Doesn't have to get a ride home.
Exactly.
An investment property. And
I don't mind it.
Well, he's number 4 on the top 25. Frank Saravelli and TSN.ca have unveiled the top 25 free agents, and
Panarin, he edged out Carlson, correct?
And that's what I wanted to get into. We could touch on this throughout the afternoon, but should Panarin be ahead of Erik Karlsson? Should he be ahead of Sergei Bobrovsky? I mean, the beauty of this list is that you've got a superstar winger, a superstar defenseman, and a superstar goalie. Like, you could touch on all three areas of the game.
Yeah, now there was one name on the list. Just double check it. I don't have it in front of me here. Check Alex Adler.
Edler's on there at 11.
Check his age.
33 years old.
Okay, great. Because in the original list came out, they had the games played in his age column, so he was 55. So I reached out to Frank right away and said, look, if Edler can be on it at 55, I can be on it.
Right.
So put me down near the bottom of the list.
Get everybody
on
there.
And you'll sign for cheap.
Sign for cheap, and I can win a face-off and change really, really fast. So yeah.
Well,
that correction's been made.
We're debating and arguing about a list that will be very fluid and will move around, and it's totally arbitrary. I mean, this is how he would rank them, and I wouldn't dispute any of the top end guys, but speaking of Edler, he's got Alex Edler at 11, he's got Jake Gardner at 15, and like, I like Edler, but Gardner's 5 years younger.
I think it's the injury issue. I think it's the fear of that,
the back injury, you mean?
And maybe I wouldn't want to take words out of Frank's mouth or the Quizmaster, because I imagine the Quizmaster has his fingerprints on that as well. Price point. Jake Gardner's probably going to cost you term and a lot more money than Edler, personally.
Oh, absolutely. He's got more leverage, I would think. Like, I think Edler wants to stay in Vancouver, too, doesn't he? Like, he's pushing for that,
I still think he's a fit there. It's amazing, and this is actually fascinating for me when I start to look at other markets. Because as I'll just say it, as fed up as people were in Toronto, or some people, I don't want to say as people, but some people of the fan base were fed up with Jake Gardner. It's Alex Edler. It's Stetcher out there.
Yeah, there's each market.
It's Tanev. Yeah, there are guys in every market that are polarizing. They're like, get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
And other markets are going,
Well, you stick around long enough and you're not a superstar, they're going to pick away at
you. Well, you said it. The playoffs. Jake Gardner is 8 years longest standing
Maple Leaf. Maple Leaf. He and Kadri have been in the organization for the longest time. Gardner's played a little bit more, but yeah. And there's another example, like Nazem Kadri. He's not a superstar, so people are going to pick away at him the longer he's here. Matthews in 8 years will still be revered. You know, Morgan Riley will still be revered, five years, whatever it is. But
he'll be here.
You know what I mean. But you look at it, like, if you could build your team, let's assume you have holes at all three positions.
Yep.
7 years, $10 million per, who would you take? Panarin, Carlson, or Bobrovsky?
So I got to go 7 years.
Yeah, they're all the same deal.
This is so
same
funny.
Same offer.
I mean,
all players are willing to accept 7 years, $10
million. So we're Seattle? Per. Are we Seattle?
Yeah, let's say you're Seattle.
Because you need all three positions. Yeah. It's tough because I know, and Pooley, you've been in management, and I know sometimes the philosophy of spending too much money in net can really come to bite you. But I say build out of the goalie because the goalie can really mask some of the issues.
That's who I'm taking.
Like I
would take
if
the goalie.
It's 7 at 10. Like if it's 7 at 10 for Bobrovsky, at least I know. If he's healthy, I'm getting 60 games of a top 10 goaltender. You know, that's Carlson is fantastic. Panarin would be my third, which is probably the wrong philosophy.
Number one on the
list.
Isn't
it interesting if you look at the goalie models of the four teams that are left playing right now?
Right, it's platoon, right? Other than Rask
is, of the four, Rask is clearly the number one.
Right. Yeah, but Binnington doesn't have enough time to prove that he's the number one.
Right.
No. He will be the number one.
He will, but he's...
But does that mean he plays 45?
Right, you're right. And Binnington could be on the Matt Murray plan, where he's had this fantastic run, but there's still going to be a market correction.
Yeah, are you
on
a
that.
65 game
right.
guy?
Right. He still hasn't proven in the regular season what he is as a goaltender.
Yeah, you've said that. You've got to play 65 and do it for multiple years.
Something with a six in it and show you. So that's interesting because you're right. If like Kenny Holland the other day goes into Edmonton and says, yeah, I've got a goalie, but I need another one because this guy is a platoon goaltender. So, you know, and I actually go back, and if you look at what Detroit did for years, they always had the two-man system. And you are seeing a lot of teams have success with a two-man system nowadays because of analytics, the back-to-back starts and that. So there is an argument to go with maybe points, which is Panarin, just goal scoring, or you're going to get points from the back end.
Well, you can't go wrong with any of the three.
I worry about Carlson's mileage. That would be the guy, you know, his skating. I know he's got something going on.
Well, he's had the Achilles, he's had the ankle, he's had real problems.
There were nights last year where I thought he was, you know, the best Gator in the league outside of McDavid. And then there were nights where I'm watching him this year, I'm like, man, he really struggles to get to where he wants to, technically, you know, with a guy that's that fluent of a skater.
And it seems like light years ago that they were in the Final
Eastern
Four.
Eastern Conference Final.
And so, you know, I was just looking at my schedule thinking, I seemed busier last year while I was in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I was busier. Well, wait a second. 2 years ago, I was in and out of Ottawa every second.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jack Armstrong will join us. We'll get into what happened last night, Game 6 in Philly. The Raptors, they got blown out. They didn't show up. And now they got an opportunity to prove a lot on Sunday night. So we'll get into what happened last night. Tee up Game 7. Jack Armstrong will join us next. All right, Ray will join us. Ray Ferraro coming up in about an hour. He's over there in Slovakia. Yeah, he's calling the games for the World Hockey Championship. So we'll catch up with Ray in about an hour.
Be quite late over there, is it?
Yeah, huh? I guess so. But he's still at the rink, I think. He's calling that game. Slovakia beating the United States. And Finland beat Canada earlier today. So the North American
seven
crew.
7 hours, Slovakia?
Yeah, so we'll catch up with Ray in about an hour.
At night right there. So it's going to be 11:30 at night.
There'll be an Urkel involved.
I think he'll be fine. I don't think he's going to bed anytime soon.
No.
And we'll touch on game one of the Eastern Conference Final from last night where Carolina had that, and then Boston just decided, actually,
we're going to go on the power play. And then
we'll just go ahead and take this from you. And
yeah.
Turns out to be a blowout. It certainly was not a blowout of a game. Carolina played well. That's a big missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But the refs showed up. The refs showed up, too. I thought both calls on Dougie Hamilton were a joke. The first one was an absolute joke. Where he, you know, he hit back. That happens every game.
But Brian, the worst part about that is he didn't touch the puck.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even eligible to be hit by the Boston guy that came in and drilled him.
Right, exactly.
And so he reverse hits, and you're either going to call that penalty or not. And they haven't been calling it.
Yeah.
So now they're going to call it.
Yeah.
And
at
the second
that time,
one, the puck
awful.
Is right there with Backes.
No, it was
terrible. I don't understand that at all.
I, you know, we've complained about the consistency of.
These are good refs, though.
Yeah, they are.
We watch a lot of games.
I know.
And what's going on?
I don't know.
Like, something's going on.
It doesn't make any sense.
They're out of sync almost.
I agree.
Well, they've been warned. I mean, clearly there's talking behind the scenes, and now they don't know what they're supposed to do. Because Game 2, Leafs Bruins, was a disaster. Everything was let go, and then everyone was like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
And now it feels like they've been told, don't let everything go. But then they start letting stuff go, and then they're like, uh-oh, we better call something
selective.
And then that's what ends up happening. But yeah. Raptors fans were not paying attention to that last night. They were paying attention to their own team, really just simply not show up. You know, Kawhi performed, Siakam performed. We've seen that a lot throughout the season, throughout the playoffs. The rest of the team was a no-show, and 25% from three. I mean, I keep pointing that out. If you hit your three-point, I think that's the X factor on Sunday. Yeah. Simply, they have to hit threes. They shoot so many of them. If they shoot upwards of 35% to 40%, I think they win. If they shoot 25%, I think they lose. Here's our good buddy Jack Armstrong, who was in the building last night. How disappointing was that effort for you, Jack?
Well, first of all, Brian, congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
That's more important than basketball. And Dave, great to have you on. Jamie, of course, always a pleasure.
Yep.
And it was not good. You show up and you're excited, and everybody who is looking at the Raptors saying this is an opportunity to get to the East Finals for only the second time in their history. You know, it just didn't work out last night, and you know, you see that a lot. The urgency on the home team, they don't want to finish their season in front of their crowd, and particularly after how they got pummeled by the Raptors in Game 5 in Toronto. Give Philadelphia credit. They really showed up, and the Raptors didn't even match their intensity, let alone exceed it. So, you know, that was a problem last night. But, you know, you play all year for the right to have that Game 7 in your building, and they've earned that right. And, I picked the Raptors to win this series in 7. There's not much difference between these two teams. And I still feel confident that they can win on Sunday. I heard what you were saying before, Brian, about, you know, three-point shooting, and there's no question that really plays a part in, you know, creating opportunities for yourself and, more importantly, limiting opportunities for Philadelphia. You miss all those shots. A lot of them are long shots. They become long rebounds, and they lead your opponent, the Sixers, directly into transition. They're running it down your throat. You're a half step or a step behind in your coverages. Now you're exposed on the offensive glass, and they're pummeling you there. So those are some issues. So, I mean, you know, they got to win the turnover battle. They got to create pace of play. They got to play fast. Their defense has got to be off the charts. They got to be a lot tougher, and they got to win 50-50 battles on the glass. They can't get pounded like they did last night on the glass. When they've been able to be respectable rebounding-wise, they've been pretty good. You know, but it all starts and ends with their defense. I think when they guard, they create turnovers. When they guard, get stops and get defensive rebounds, and they're able to push and run, they get good shots, and particularly at home, I feel confident they'll shoot the ball better.
Well, the amazing thing about this series has been the complete lack of predictability in terms of individual performance. And going into Sunday, I fully expect Kawhi will show up, and I think Jimmy Butler's going to show up. Butler's a gamer. Outside of game one, I think he's been spectacular, and we all know the story about Kawhi. Outside of that, Jack, I have no idea. I have no idea if Siakam and Lowry and Green and Gasol are going to show up. I have no idea if Simmons or Embiid or you know, Tobias Harris, any of these guys, Ennis off the bench, if any of them are going to show up. And I would think that's probably the same thing that's running through the minds of the two head coaches. They feel good about one player, and beyond that, they're not quite certain who else is going to be there on Sunday.
And that's why I keep harping on the fact, you know, this is a game of habits, and the most important thing that's got to show up is your absolute out-and-out commitment on the defensive end to do the things that you have full and complete control over, and that is your scheme, playing it to the best of your ability, and playing it really, really hard. And I think if you do those things, then the offensive things will begin to take care of themselves, because you're going to create the pace of play where then your team gets into a style and a personality that best fits their skill set. And if this is a half-court trench war, Philadelphia's got a lot of individual talent. And I worry about that. And they've done a pretty good job when it's been a half-court game of really making it hard for the Raptors. I mean, I feel bad for Nick Nurse. I mean, OG Anunoby's hurt. He would have been able to play in this series. He's had a tough year. I feel bad for the kid. He's had one thing after the other. But his size, he could have played in this series. He could have helped them. So now you down him. And then Norm Powell and Fred VanVleet, particularly when the games are really slow, Philadelphia's size just counteracts that. So you're playing six guys. And I tell you what, the intensity per play on Sunday, even though you get 2 days of rest leading into it, is going to be off the charts, as we know in with game sevens in basketball and hockey. It's off the charts. So who's that seventh guy, maybe even eighth guy, that can even give you 5, 6, 8, 9 minutes and make a play or two? Because you're asking your team, and they got to sell out all the time on defense because they can control that. And again, if they're just an average defensive team on Sunday and an average rebounding team on Sunday and they're not creating turnovers, they're going to get stuck in the mud and they're going to play against a team that has the talent level to beat them. If they enforce their will on the game in terms of the style of play, then I feel confident playing at home in front of their crowd that they can win.
Jack, in order to know what the Raptors are facing or to understand it better, I'm going to put you on the Philadelphia bench, okay? So now you're preparing the Philadelphia team, and you got a choice of four words that are going through your mind as you're preparing them. Is your team underperforming? Is it dangerous? Is it just young, or is it just flat out not ready?
Good question. I'm going to say, what was the second one again?
So I've got underperforming is one, dangerous is two, and
I'm saying dangerous.
Yeah.
I feel my team's dangerous. I'm going in, I'm saying, fellas, if I'm Brett Brown, and I think he... I don't like it, but I think he can. If I'm him, I can't play Greg Monroe and Boban in this game on Sunday. I think he stumbled upon something playing Mike Scott, you know, maybe even a Ben Simmons at the five when they have Embiid off the floor. And now, you know, Nick Nurse has got to make a decision. How are you playing that? You know, I think you play a little smaller then. Or if you go big, you better punish. You better punish them then. But to me, I feel like I got a dangerous team. I feel like I got the better bench. I feel like, you know, Mike Scott's heating up. I feel like, and you know, Ennis has been a better, has been a good player for them. I feel like I have more talent, and I feel like if I can get, you know, Embiid going and challenge him to get deep in the post and make Toronto have to run around and chase in there, I think if I can get off to a good start, I feel like I got a dangerous team that is has weathered a lot of storms and can win a game seven. I really do. And to me, this, you know, again, that's why the margin of error between these two teams is so slim. I think Nick Nurse is saying that Philadelphia is dangerous because he knows they're dangerous. I mean, here's the other thing. We've seen the best of Toronto in game one and five. We've seen the best of Philly in games three and six. I guess the question is, which team's best is best? And, you know, I think you're going to see both teams at their best on Sunday. And I go back to using something that I use, and Brian, you'll remember, and Jamie, when I was on with you a few weeks ago before the series, I said, is it going to come down to the five best or the best five? Dramatic difference. I think if you did a mock draft or if you did a beauty contest, Philadelphia would probably have more players on the top of the list than Toronto would. But that doesn't necessarily mean they win. And I think for Toronto, the fact that they were the more consistent team that earned the right to have a Game 7 at home, and they have more experience and savvy and know-how, that doesn't mean they're better, but they have some advantages inherently built in that they've earned. Now, my thing is, I don't worry about the offense if I'm Nick Nurse. I worry about creating a furious energy level in my team that now will lead to all the good stuff offensively that, that you know that your team can bring, particularly at home.
Well, enjoy it on Sunday, Jack. It should be a great atmosphere down there. It's going to be a fun night, and we'll see where it takes us. I'm sure we'll chat again early next week. Thank you, buddy.
You know, the crazy thing, too, is we could have a special day in the NBA on Sunday.
That's right.
If Houston wins tonight, we'll have three Game 7s on Sunday, which will be awesome.
Yeah. Spectacular.
The best.
I'm banking on it, too. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Enjoy, buddy.
Guys, have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
There you
Take
go.
Take care, Jack.
There's Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst. He's right. We've already got Portland, Denver, Raptors, Sixers. And if Houston wins tonight without Kevin Durant going, they're at home, they're a big favorite, I think that will play out.
Wow.
Three Game 7s on Sunday.
League has to be happy about that.
That's perfect.
Oh, ecstatic.
And great. Game of Thrones going Sunday night.
That's great theater right there.
Perfect. Well, and I'm telling you, man, the Game of Thrones, it is scaring these TV networks because...
Isn't that funny?
The Warriors-Rockets, if it gets to 7, will be played at 3:30 in the afternoon. 12:30 local.
To stay away from that.
I think so.
Yeah.
They're like, because any other time, prime time in the NBA is 9 p.m. tip.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones is 9 p.m. tip. I think they're like, we're not going up against them.
It's smart, though.
It's absolutely smart.
I'd be willing to bet, there's just, we've had no conversation about this, that Jamie has seen exactly the same amount of Game of Thrones as I have.
Which is zero?
Yeah. I have started. I tried to start season one.
Oh, wow.
Episode one, and the old English threw me off.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
but
you
I
guys
is that recently you tried to start it?
No, it was like last year.
Okay.
But I promised Brian that I'm going to get through the whole season and everything this summer. Okay. I'm going to try.
I worked through Peaky Blinders and got through the language there. I love Peaky Blinders.
I've heard it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Great show.
Perfect. But I haven't got to Game of Thrones yet.
Ray Ferraro will join us from Slovakia at around 5:30. Scott Mitchell coming up. We got an update on where Vladdy will hit in the lineup tonight. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up around 5:30. We'll get into the Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Final last night, Game 1 of the Western Conference Final tomorrow night. Continue to look ahead to a big Sunday in the NBA. Potentially three Game 7s. Already two have punched their ticket. We know what's going on in Toronto on Sunday. 7 p.m. tip-off. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. And if you're lucky enough, If you were lucky enough to listen to First Up this morning, Landsberg and Koliakovo announced a Raptors playoff keyword. If you heard it, now is your chance to call 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050, and the first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to see Raptors Sixers Game 7 Sunday night down at Scotiabank. That's a big giveaway.
It is.
Game 7, because it's deja vu in Toronto. The Leafs were up 3-2 in their series. We all know how it played out.
Yeah.
Raptors were up 3-2 in their series. We don't know how this one's going to play out yet.
Home ice.
But there's no history. There's not bad history. Like, you know, with the Leafs, it was like, okay, here's Boston. You know, you've had the... We're not going to go through the Boston history. Here, there's no...
Not necessarily with Philly, but it was, you
but
know,
there
Vince.
Is about not getting past this point.
Right. Know? And being considered chokers or soft or whatever, right? Like, that's what's at stake on Sunday for the organization, to prove that you can break through here.
Right.
I think from a Kawhi Leonard standpoint, Adrian Wojnarowski, we'll get to this audio later, but he essentially said this morning on ESPN, this one game is not going to determine the future of Kawhi.
I couldn't agree more.
But it will. It can help. If you win,
it's he goes deep, yeah.
It's easier to sell winning when you've shown Absolutely. Him winning than to try to project winning.
Okay, let me ask you this. In watching the game last night, I thought about this, and I don't know if any other fan thought this. But Kawhi's looking around, and it was him and Siakam were the only two that were that turned a wheel.
Brought anything last night.
Brought anything. Like, at some point, he's got to be going, like, I'm looking at this team, I'm expecting more. And there, during the regular season, there was more. The bench was better. You know, Lowry, you know, was a very consistent player. That's what could, in my mind, I kept thinking, that's what could factor him in him leaving. He's going, we're in the playoffs here. I'm doing my part. Where is everyone else?
Right.
Which, if that's what it was about, Jamie, I'd flat out ask him, who else do you want here? Because we'll go get him.
That's fair.
I mean, you can rebuild this team.
Around him.
Yeah, him and Siakam are the guys.
That's a whole different gig. He is so good. And just to throw this out there as something that we might hit on today or we might not, we were talking on Leafs Lunch, and, you know, Andy, who doesn't want to trade anybody ever, yeah. I said, what if you can get Kawhi Leonard type of player for the Leafs? Then who would you be willing to trade?
Right.
And it changed the whole conversation, because to think of... There were some really, really good basketball players here. And then they brought Kawhi Leonard in. As an average, you know, a guy who follows games but doesn't profess to know a lot about basketball, you're watching Kawhi Leonard and you're like, okay, he's really good. He's really good.
Yeah.
So if you get a difference maker to that level, how would it change your view on...
I think it changes everything. That's where I understand.
But how many
why
of those guys exist?
Not many. And in the NHL... You know, again, Kawhi, the equivalent of Kawhi is you're talking a top five player. So I don't know if those guys would be available.
Bobrovsky. You know, it's somebody like that. Like, it's,
well,
you know,
it's even better than that, I think.
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know,
you're right.
We're, it doesn't matter. It's apples
multi-dimensional
to oranges,
but offense, defense. He plays goalie, D, and forward.
Right. Exactly. The point being is, until you know what the other offer is, I understand why fans are reluctant to say, let's get rid of this guy or that guy. Until you see the offer on the table,
right,
then it kind of changes your perspective. The Jays off yesterday, back in action tonight. Vlady Guerrero Jr. will hit in the two-hole tonight, which I like. You know, lock him in somewhere, because wins and losses don't matter. Wins and losses are totally irrelevant. This team's awful. Give him an opportunity to get as many at-bats as possible, find some stability, put him in the two-hole, and don't move him again. Like, don't tomorrow he's in the five-hole, and then next week he's back up in the three-hole.
He's only gone 3-5 so far, correct?
Yes. But leave them, two spot, we're good. We'll talk more about this later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.